Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, in light of Industrial Revolution 4.0, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations is looking to cement its status as a key player in the global marketplace by actively cultivating science, technology, engineering and math education alongside regional leaders. Yet women hold only 23% of the research positions in East Asia and the Pacific. This proportion lowers to 19% in South and West Asia. These low numbers of women in the field is a reflection of gender inequalities within STEM education. To discuss why women are still underrepresented in STEM, we're joined by Mandy Dimitriadis, Director of Learning at Makers Empires. Mandy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So we're seeing many girls show STEM interest at a young age, but they're frequently stifled by pedagogical, psychological and sociocultural barriers. Why do you think that is? Especially since a lot of early scientists were women, Marie Curie, even that mathematician who worked at NASA.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as girls get older, they receive some really strong messages, both directly and indirectly, that STEM is not something that they should be pursuing as an interest or a career. As you said, that we have some great role models from early history, but we do lack current role models for our young girls to identify with. They aren't seeing successful women in STEM careers that they want to be like and that they can look up to. I also think there's peer pressure to behave and learn in a certain way that's accepted by other students. And I think although teachers and parents are well-meaning, I think that girls are not often encouraged, or they're actively discouraged from pursuing STEM subjects, from being good at STEM subjects and pursuing those types of careers. So there's some real barriers to break there. Another point I'd like to make is that there are some misconceptions about what it actually means to work in the STEM area. We often think of working with big, dusty, smelly tools or being in a lab all day, where actually STEM is about solving problems. And we have many problems in the world that need a STEM mindset to solve. STEM is more about more than being good at science and math. And it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. We need to be able to solve problems, to identify problems. We need to be able to deal with failure and know that when things don't turn out, it's an opportunity to try again and come up with another solution. And we also need to be curious and ask questions, and those kinds of behaviours are often discouraged in girls in particular.
I hate to put pressure on you, Mandy, but how can they overcome this?
Oh, I wish I had the magic wand to do that. But I think we need those role models for girls. And to do that, we need to make sure that some of the young girls now are becoming those role models. I think we need to be more active in showing examples of what STEM work is all about and involving young girls at an early age.
Then why is there a pressing need for more women in the talent pipeline in Southeast Asia? Is it just a numbers game, or why in particular more women?
As you pointed out just earlier, less than a quarter of research positions are held by women in Asia, Southeast Asia and the Pacific. And I think it's more than a numbers game. I think that with the problems that the world is facing, things like climate change and polluted oceans, we need our best minds on the job. And it just goes to reason that half of those minds are going to be female. And when we have urgent issues arising, like what's happening in the world at the moment with coronavirus, we need our best people ready and able to act.
So you're saying there could be best minds out there just within a female head, and unfortunately they're not in STEM.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that, yes. I think you made the point earlier that a lot of girls show interest in STEM at an early age, and then various factors squash that. But I also think when women do enter the workforce, they often don't stay in the workforce in STEM positions. So I think we need to look at how those jobs work. Are they catering for things like women taking breaks in their career to have children and so on? So I believe that we are losing some of those great minds.
Mm. How urgent is it also to increase the pipeline of women talent in STEM overall?
Absolutely. I think it's very important.
Let's talk about then inculcating a love for STEM learning. They have it. Perhaps it starts to wane later due to disencouragement and so on. Let's say gamification and 3D printing technology could maybe also change the minds of parents and peers.
Yep, I do believe that. And this is where my actual experience and expertise lies. If we look at 3D technology, the actual designing in 3D, what students are developing and through that is spatial awareness. And there's lots of research to say that spatial reasoning and spatial skills that are a key indicator for future success in STEM subjects and STEM careers. So if we're developing those skills at an early age, I think we're going to see more success and more people choosing those sorts of careers in the future. I also think that 3D technology allows students to solve real problems, and by that I mean problems that really matter to them. In the past, it's been really difficult for young children to make real products. They might have great ideas for helping somebody or solving a problem, but they end up needing to make a model or something out of cardboard. Whereas a 3D printer pretty much brings a factory into the classroom or home.
We're speaking with Mandy Dimitriadis, Director of Learning at Makers Empire. So Industrial 4.0 is chugging along, is actually on all cylinders on go right now. How do you think that we can prepare students and people for jobs that don't exist right now? You're talking about not knowing what we don't know.
Absolutely. So clearly we can't prepare people for what we don't know is going to happen. But I think the thing that we are certain about is uncertainty. So we need to make sure that our young people are adaptable and flexible, that they can respond to situations and challenges that they are confronted with, and also recognise that there is an opportunity to respond and to make a difference. And one of the things that I think is really important here is thinking skills, particularly design thinking skills. So we see young children developing those design thinking skills where they're developing empathy for a particular user group. They're then defining problems, generating creative ideas, and then testing those ideas by making prototypes and getting feedback and evaluating them. So I think that those sorts of thinking processes key to future success.
Also shifting some stereotypes that once you say design, people think, oh, I have to be good at drawing. I have to be good at, you know, being able to draw something in, by way of a blueprint, etc.
Absolutely. I'd like to give you an example of some Year 3 students, girls, who their school was redesigning the playground. And these girls had noticed that the playground wasn't accessible for all of their friends. There was a little boy in a wheelchair, somebody else who had epileptic seizures and wasn't safe in the existing playground. So these girls used our software, which is very easy to use, 3D software, and they made models of what they thought their playground could look like. They then printed those to scale, 3D printed them, and presented them to their decision makers at school. And that now those particular students are working with architects to design the playground. So they didn't have any whiz bang creative artistic skills yet, but they were able to apply that way of thinking to solving a real problem that they care about.
How old are these kids?
Grade 3, so 8, 9 years old. Yes.
Mandy, you're Director of Learning at Makers Empires. Why have you decided to join the EduSpace Accelerator?
Well, this story began back in November at the EdTech Asia Conference, where we were there presenting some research that we've done into makerspace learning, and we won a pitch competition. So that part of that pitch competition prize was a spot in the EduSpace. So that's how we got there. But why we were excited about it is that we're really keen to learn about Southeast Asia landscape, particularly in education and educational technology, to learn how schools work and how we might bring what we do to schools in Southeast Asia. Our growth model is to build region by region, so countries and broader regions. So we're really keen to have a presence in Southeast Asia, beginning with Singapore and working outwards.
And Mandy, what's it been like for you navigating the STEM education space as a woman?
Interesting. I started as a teacher, and then I've had many different kind of pathways in my career. But what I think's been important for me is to be really clear about what it is that I'm passionate about and what I want to, where I want to have impact. So for me, it's very much about helping students to learn in ways that are going to benefit their futures and helping teachers to teach in that way. So whether I'm in the classroom or I'm working with an ed tech company, I see that as a vehicle for what I want to do. So I work with a lot of tech people, but I see my part of that as achieving what I care about.
Mandy Dimitriadis, Director of Learning at Makers Empires, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.